Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the WizWit Hockey Podcast. As always, I'm your host, Drew, and with me is Devin.
I'm literally choking on chocolate chip.
And Ryan.
I was going to talk about how David Pastrnak looked really cool yesterday. He had those pink sunglasses on in the outdoor game. I thought that was really cool.
I really do like the bubble hockey commercial.
Oh, those were great.
I
like how they decided, like, all right, we got to stop having him act. Just do animated things now. Because his first Dunkin' commercials were, like, brutally awkward. But in a good, endearing way.
I just feel like I told Dev to stop eating cookies right before the start.
And no, I did.
And then he choked on a chocolate chip.
Yeah, because he started right after he stopped.
He said he was getting... First off, he washed a chocolate chip cookie down with a La Croix.
A La Croix?
Where's your milk?
I don't use milk for chocolate chip cookies. Only Oreos.
But what kind of flavoring is it? Why would you do that? Why wouldn't... Just use regular water at that point. Like, fine, don't use milk. Use regular water. Like, why are you... You still have a cookie in your mouth. I can see you with a cookie in your mouth.
Yo, they have shirts of... I don't know. I'm not going to buy one because he's a Boston Bruin, but they have shirts of David Pastrnak wearing his cool sunglasses.
I would like to point out, for me, this is like trying to teach like a third grade class. Like, somebody's eating cookies, this other guy's just talking randomly. I don't even know. I can't.
Or you'd make a terrible teacher.
I'm not denying this. I'm not denying this.
You'd be like the substitute no one respects.
Dude, I'd be like the regular teacher nobody expects.
Our Pastrnak, in terms of personality, is our mascot, which I can't tell if that's better or worse.
Wait, are you saying Gritty's Pastrnak, or vice versa?
They might be the same person. I don't think we've ever seen them together, so... Yeah.
You know what my favorite
just saying,
thing...
Like, we don't have, like, a goofy... Yeah, let's talk about Gritty. He had a great weekend.
You know what my favorite thing from the weekend
was? He's
the best part. Right before the first game picked back up at midnight... The NHL put something on their Instagram, and it was the quote was, "I always feel like somebody's watching me." And they pan from the rink to the woods just to the right, and you just see Gritty behind a tree. And I think the Boston guy was there too, whatever their mascot's called.
Yeah, well, Gritty, Gritty and their bear thing.
Yeah,
was they were like hanging out together the whole week. But, like, nobody cares about anyone else's mascot. So it's just kind of funny when they try to, like, put the other like, Gritty's in his own realm.
Gritty?
They still do, like, the normal mascot stuff with him. But, like, he's, like, he transcends that.
He just makes everything better.
He transcends the Flyers. There's going to be a day where he's going to have more followers than the Flyers.
He makes them more relevant right now.
There's going to be a day where Gritty detaches himself from the Flyers and no longer associates with the Flyers.
He's gonna
from the NHL altogether.
No, he's going to make his own team. He's going to be the 33rd franchise. Stop eating cookies!
He's just going to
You're talking with your mouth full.
I'm done with food.
Jesus. Don't try and talk with you. He's going to make his own team. It's going to be the Philadelphia Gritty's.
He's just not going to associate with the NHL. He's going to realize they're holding him back.
Yeah, he's just going to be his own. There's going to be like a big lawsuit. It's going to be great. He'll be in like 20 years.
I mean, he already got arrested. Basically.
Mm-mm.
Got sued?
No, he just punched a kid in the face, but they couldn't prove it.
Yeah.
Did he actually punch a kid in the face? You
allegedly.
Know what? Speaking of accusations, something came out today.
He was accused of punching a kid in the face. That's real. He did get accused of punching a kid in the face, but there was no evidence.
And in the report, they said Gritty. That was the best part.
That story was so good. Gritty sprinted across the room, right? Like,
yeah, they referred to him as Gritty. That to me is when it
That was the best part. The police put a statement out and just referred to him as Gritty like he was his own. Like Well, he is. He's his own person. Mm-hmm. Like, there's not a man inside a costume.
That to me,
like, he's a real person.
Was all the evidence I needed.
But I really like the report it. Was like, pretty took like 3 or 4 like sprint like steps like a full run to punch the kid in the face.
Oh yeah, then yeah, it was described as a running punch.
Yeah. Oh my god.
You know who else was accused of something? Artemi Panarin. He was accused. It is a very crazy story. Accused by a Russian tabloid of attacking an 18-year-old Latvian woman in a hotel bar in 2011. Apparently.
So I forgot how old he was.
Yeah.
Like, I forgot that he came and did the NHL as like a 25. Because I was like 2011. Like how old was he?
But yeah, remember he was the oldest rookie of the year. That you know. Mm-hmm. He was like 24 when
I was really hoping like I was gonna look up his age and he was like 12. It's like he attacked the 18-year-old.
How old is he?
Like
29.
So yeah, so basic and with the crazy thing to me is like, okay, so clearly if you know anything about like the backstory of this, like Panarin is outspoken against Putin. Everyone knows like what happens when you're outspoken against Putin. You get poisoned to die. Crazy things. And so like I think everyone's initial reaction was like, okay, this is kind of fishy. But the crazy thing was that the Rangers kind of like went all in. They put out that statement where they basically said like, we stand by Panarin if this story is like completely fabricated.
He vehemently and unequivocally denies any and all allegations in this fabricated story.
And which is crazy, like from like a I don't know, like a PR standpoint, because if it like turns out to be true, like that's gonna blow up. Like usually teams just avoid, like they'll say nothing, and they'll say
like we're aware of the situation and we're investigating or something like that. But this time they just right off the bat just came right out.
They're like, nah, this is fake.
Panarin is currently taking a leave of absence in lieu of that story,
which I thought was weird at first, but then I guess when you account for the fact that it's Russia and Putin. He said that he's worried about his family.
Yeah.
Very understandable.
Like, well, I don't know if you guys have been following what's been going on in Russia, but, like, literally the old, like, the one political opponent of Putin was, like, poisoned and then arrested.
Mm-hmm. That's...
And, like, they've been, like, holding
protests. I did not know that.
Yeah, so...
wow. Definitely understandable.
Yeah, like, I figured all of the details.
Take a leave of absence.
He had to, like, flee Russia, and then I think while he was out of Russia, he was poisoned and almost died, and then he returned to Russia, was immediately, like, arrested and put on house arrest, and there's been, like, massive demonstrations in Russia, because, like, Putin apparently won his election with, like, 99% of the vote, which is, like, clearly...
a little bit.
Clearly a sham, but... So, yeah, it's been crazy over there.
Yeah, it sounds.
And like, there's been a lot of stuff, like a lot of NHL players like doing things like liking a post that is anti-Putin, and like that's a big deal to like Russians. Mm-hmm. And like, I think like the only player who hasn't really been either secretly or outwardly outspoken against Putin is like Ovechkin.
He's like his.
I don't know about Malkin, but.
Nah, yeah, Ovechkin and Putin seem like their best buds. I think Putin was at his wedding. Ovechkin's.
Yeah, well, Ovechkin's like odd over there, so.
Yeah, he's a big deal.
Would make sense. So what's crazy is that like Panarin is like, all right, screw this. I'm just gonna like go hide somewhere so I don't die. That's kind of what I feel like. Like, I don't want the KGB coming after me.
It's true. The KGB. Pretty
nuts. Pretty nuts. And basically, you know, someone working in America said something. But I don't think he even said anything. Like, I think he just liked a post. That was anti-Putin.
Well, that's what I was actually curious about. Like, what... I knew he... I remember reading something like... think over the summer or something, but like something where he was against, Russia. But I didn't know what when this came up, I didn't know exactly.
He's apparently a vocal critic against Putin. And then last month he posted his support on social media for that guy who's running against Putin.
Gotcha.
And got poisoned. And
I thought when it was first reported like that it was politically charged, I kind of thought that was like, what did that mean? Like, it kind of sounds like bullshit, but yeah, I guess when you actually read into it and shit like that, like, it is pretty fucking serious.
Yeah, it's crazy.
I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if, like, if something did actually happen when he was 18 or 19 and, like, you know, he was a star Russian hockey player in Russia and they buried it. And then, like, you know, 10 years
I
later,
guess,
whatever,
yeah.
he's no longer supporting Putin. So they're like, all right, fine, we'll unbury this story from 10 years ago. Either way, it's be nuts. But basically, like, all right, the Russian government through back channels is like, all right, we're going to try to bury this guy.
Good luck, Artemi. That's basically how they're going.
But
Breadman.
The hockey note, we play the Rangers next.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. With what team? Because we've had some COVID issues.
I was gonna say they might be missing Panarin, but we're missing like
we're missing
everyone else.
We have six players still on the COVID list. It's not great. We played this outdoor game, which we'll get to, with two defensemen playing forward.
We want to get to that.
No, well, we were gonna talk about the outdoor games. Ryan, read the doc.
Let's go to
that one
though. I thought both games were so cool. Like, I know the Flyers got stomped. Like, and I know the first game was kind of like a shit show, and just in terms of like they played one period and then like everyone was falling over because the ice was getting melted by the sun.
Who would have thought?
It was just such a cool, like, the fact that there was no fans there and it was just like in the So I made fun
scenery
of it.
Scenery was fantastic. Like,
I was making fun of it when I thought it wasn't going to go to the next one. Like, but like, all right, I stand corrected. It was really cool looking, especially the Flyers Bruins game in the second period when like the sun was setting and the sky was like pink, and like you could see the mountains and stuff. That was dope.
It's been so cool actually getting to like skate on that ice. That must have been so surreal. Like, it's got to be so different than like playing in like a Winter Classic or a stadium series where you're surrounded like by a full stadium, like playing in a setting like that where there's no fan noise. Because I don't think they funneled in any fan noise either, which was another great part to that game.
So the fake fan noise is actually really, really bothering me. But
because it's not
kind
real
of bummed
fan
about
noise.
Is they're never gonna, they're never. Well, the pause on fan noise, like, fans don't make a constant noise at games. Like, there's parts of a game where there's no noise until something
and
happens,
all the noise that's
the
funneled
fake
in
fan
is
noise
like
is constantly going.
And all the noise that's funneled in isn't like actually like what the fans would be saying.
It's not just talking to each other.
No one's yelling like, shoot, no one's booing, like.
Yeah. But what bums me about like the Tahoe thing is like that was so cool, but they're never gonna do that again because like they're never gonna purposely play a game without fans.
Somebody said
kind of do that. I feel like they should keep playing games in crazy places with no fans and just make it like a TV event.
Somebody said that exact thing on Twitter, which is what I was trying to get to be kept talking. But I think it would be cool.
Did somebody? Maybe it was me.
It wasn't you. It was somebody else because me and Joey
were
talking
about
it. Sounds
like something Deb would say.
Anyways, I said they should do it in Banff because I think that would be crazy cool because there's that big lake there. There's a lot of like big mountains there, and that'd be awesome.
Except we still need to get to the point. Made fun of Myrtle for saying Banff was greater than Tahoe, and I said, Tahoe is technically bigger.
Oh, Lake Louise. Oh, okay. But I, like, could you imagine the Battle of Alberta right there in Banff?
How much money would they lose, really, like, not having one game? Like,
probably
one game of.
You gotta think, like, that most of the stadiums, they hold more than a. They hold more than like an actual. Like,
but you can make it a bigger event than the Winter Classic already is, because the Winter Classic nobody cares about anymore.
Well, that's...
I was listening to...
I don't know if that's true, though. People do care about that
No, because
stuff,
there's 17 Stadium Series games, so there's nothing special
still,
about
they
it.
Still, they right, still, so fill, that's they still fill the stadiums. Like just tickets as a loan from those things are crazy.
But ad revenue-wise, you could do so much with that special...
So, yeah, exactly. Well, Drew's...
Like, you could still
Drew's point, you would still do the outdoor games at stadiums, right? Like, you
Correct.
Do the Stadium Series, you do the Heritage Classic, right?
Yeah.
But, like, or you do the Stadium Series games. You call them, you brand them Stadium Series, whatever.
Right.
They're games that are played in football and baseball stadiums where you get 40,000 fans and you get a ton of revenue, and it's more of, like, a localized event for the team that's hosting it. But then the national, like, the Winter Classic and the Heritage Classic, they get...
Neutral sites.
Make it this outdoor setting with no fans, right?
Yeah.
Just make it a TV thing. Because, like, everyone will tune in to watch that, and it'll be really cool and unique. And, like the Tahoe thing was great. And then if you just, like, plan for the sun, instead of doing it at noon, you do it, you know, in the
I think it
sun
looks great.
Setting.
Like, yeah. Like,
yeah,
do it
at sunset.
Although,
do it at sunset.
You do
although,
it in Canada in December when it gets dark at 4 o'clock.
I,
and if you play on the West Coast, you could have it air at noon and on the East Coast.
They might have to wait till night because I forget. Sean Couturier actually after the Bruins game said the first period he felt like was really dangerous because they couldn't see at all.
Yeah,
the glare.
Right.
You might
if
have
they
to wait till like when it's more dark and you could put the light, like the overhead lights on.
They would have started it when they started the second period.
Yes.
Would have been perfect. Because when
yes.
it came out in the second period, the sun was behind the
was
mountains.
Great.
Like
yeah.
that. And it looked great.
And
then, like, third period was dark. Who cares? Like, you get the scenery. But, like, it still looks cool at night, too. Like, it's not like it's stupid when you can't see the mountains. But, I don't know. Like, yeah, I that wasn't really my idea. I heard someone else say that. So I don't want to take credit for it. But, like, I think that would be much cooler, and I don't think you would lose. Like, you definitely make, like, if you're doing the outdoor games, Stadium Series games, whatever, you're getting all that revenue from, like, basically getting three games worth of ticket sales, plus the jersey sales. You do a special jersey and all that stuff, and it's gonna get more ratings just from the local.
You make
teams.
A lot of money from the merch
gonna
sold at those events, too.
Right. But like you're still getting all that outdoor game revenue. Just in terms of ticket sales. And then if you just delete two games out of the NHL schedule in terms of fan revenue, so you're losing out 40,000 tickets, I feel like you can make up that money in just merch and advertising. And
if they do it
just,
right,
yeah.
they could advertise it right and
yeah.
actually make it like a
yeah.
big
How
deal.
How much does it cost actually too for the NHL to build these outdoor rinks? Like I assume they had to work out a deal with it was a golf course they did that, right? So I assume they got to work out something.
Apparently
with that.
A lot because they can't make a seat for the goalie.
Yeah,
you gotta see that.
Yeah, they can't get a
seat
warmer. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then so they gotta actually, I guess, rent wherever they're building this rink and then make the money to build or, you know, spend the money to build the
that's,
rink and then.
See, that's where you get sponsors to do that. That's where you get the
yeah.
money from.
Yeah.
You get sponsors to do it. You get. Well, because Honda's a big sponsor. You get Honda to do it. You know what I mean? Like, you get that kind of thing. Hey, like, you want to be the sole advertiser on this rink? Pay for it.
I mean, look, I'm all for it yeah. just as long – I just don't know if the NHL goes for it. I mean, they did this year because you can't have fans, but I don't know if they – I would love it if they did. I just don't know if they go for it. And, again, like you said, they'd have to do it right, and I don't know – how much I trust the NHL with that.
I mean, I guess. But, again, there's just so many ways to do it, and you could still make money, and you don't have to shell out all the money.
The average high temperature in December in the Grand Canyon is only 58 degrees. Imagine a game at the Grand Canyon.
On the Grand Canyon? that'll be
and
the best.
To
when they
yeah,
actually...
At the bottom of it.
In the canyon
you know,
itself. I don't think they could because it's protected, but that would be awesome.
Suspended over the canyon.
Yes, because
you know,
that's
I thought
the
about it. So I guess the reason why they don't play on the actual, like if the lake was frozen, they wouldn't play on there is because they couldn't Zamboni the ice.
Okay.
What if they just put boards around three separate parts of the ice, one for each year?
No, no. So here's the issue with actually playing on the ice. Cap's what, 82 million or something like that? It's $164 million worth of players on ice that has.
They all fall through.
They all fall through. There's the insurance of that alone would be a nightmare. They can't do
Dude,
that.
There is.
When they figure it
did
out,
you
I
ever
hope I'm
watch
alive to see that.
Space
But I hope
Road
they do figure
Truckers?
it out one day.
Yeah?
Wait,
they have
what?
A road over ice
Yeah,
where they
in
drive
Alaska, where the
freight
ice is
trucks.
like 30 feet deep. 30 feet thick.
Play in Alaska. There's, I guarantee you,
they should
lake
play in
in
Alaska.
Minnesota that's big enough and freezes thick enough for a Zamboni to be on.
There's too
I
many cracks
you
in the ice.
I you build
guarantee
three
you that
separate,
a,
three
this is
separate,
doable.
Get three separate sets of boards, and then
there's
that's it.
Too
like
many
each
cracks
period, you
in
go to
the
a
ice. It doesn't make sense.
Okay, no, but in reality, this would be quite easy. You don't actually skate on the lake ice. You just build the rink on lake ice.
That sounds even more difficult.
You, like,
it's too heavy.
No, you just the. No, it's not. There are lakes that freeze like 3 feet thick
in Alaska.
And they can hold a lot.
Yeah, well, you play in Alaska.
No, in dude, in Minnesota. Do you remember the Eagles Super Bowl?
Yeah.
True. You remember how cold it was? You know, remember Alshon Jeffrey floating around Twitter today when they were asking him about how cold it was? Like, we're playing indoors.
Yeah, I mean,
it gets cold in
Minnesota.
They
played
like, it gets
inside
really freaking
and
cold.
Well, I mean, if you're doing this without fans, just play in Alaska.
It's too
yeah,
cold.
Or yeah,
it's
or just literally
cold.
Go to Alaska.
Go to the North Pole. It's,
that's literally
you're,
death.
You guys, no, you're being really weird. There's plenty of thick enough ice that could definitely hold.
It does. It just doesn't
that
work.
Way.
You can't make an NHL game happen. There's too many cracks in the ice. They can't paint the ice.
No, you're not listening.
You're not
to me.
Building
you
a rink on top. It's not flat enough. You're not understanding.
This is pretty flat.
Not as flat as you think.
Dude, I just think it would be funny for them to try and build a rink on
it
the
would
ice.
Fall through. There's too many variables.
You just literally put some boards down. It's flat,
it's
and then you pour the water over it.
Many.
At the very
variables.
Least, they should do a preseason game. Then it doesn't matter, right?
You ever watch the
yeah,
videos of them
in September when it's all gonna melt?
How cold is it in Alaska in September?
Not that cold. I've been there.
Yeah, in September?
Yeah, it's like 40s, 50s.
All right, well then.
I was actually there in August, but it was still
do
50,
the
60s.
All-Star game there. There
oh,
we go.
Oh, my God. And
then
all the
like
All-Stars
February.
Just fall through the ice.
Not when it's 3 feet thick.
Not everything is 3 feet thick.
Don't glass.
It's not how it works.
Look, that's how I'm gonna.
I think you don't. I don't. You keep saying it's not how it works, but I don't think you understand how ice works.
I don't think you understand how ice works. There's too many variables.
They could play a game.
Looking up ice thickness.
Oh my god.
They could play a game at the McDonald's parking lot.
15-inch thick ice can hold a medium truck, so.
Okay.
A medium truck. That doesn't sound good. That's not promising.
You gotta figure a medium truck is about what all those boards and all that equipment would weigh. Then you gotta put the players on it.
And then you got 20 guys per team.
I'm just curious. How thick do you think ice gets in, like, I'm just gonna stick with Minnesota. How thick do you think the ice gets?
Depends on where. Probably maximum 30 inches.
Okay. 30 inches of ice.
Maximum. It's because there's a lot of ice fishing, and the augers aren't that deep.
What, 2.5 feet?
Yeah, 2.5 feet. Yeah, no, that's about right. Yeah, about 30 inches. He's thinking. He's looking at the Googles. He's got his thinking
this
cap on.
This is something I need to. This is something
really.
I need to do. Before the
pop. The ladies just looking in the like zoning out and all the numbers
because all I keep,
their head.
Yes.
All I keep seeing is this ice thickness chart that says the same thing up to 15 inches. It doesn't go beyond 15 inches.
Right, because so it's uncharted little. Territory. Did you
not
even
uncharted.
Look to see what the average thickness of ice is in Minnesota?
Yeah, I did try that. Nothing really came up.
Right, okay, because it's not measured, like... because there's too much temperature fluctuation. You can't guarantee that the ice will be safe enough to put all the equipment for the rink, all the camera equipment, all the players.
You're speaking so much like you're an authority on ice in Minnesota, and I know you know nothing about ice in Minnesota.
You can't
there's
plan
no way,
that.
There's no,
you literally
there's no
can't
way you
plan
know
that.
Anything
okay,
about
so let's
ice
just say,
because
hear me out.
No one does.
Hear me
none
out.
Of us are from Minnesota.
Hear me out. Hear me out. Hear me out. Ready for this? Okay, the NHL all right. goes, all right, February 22nd, we're going to have an outdoor game on the ice on this lake in Minnesota, and they're planning this in July. Guess what happens the week of February 22nd? They have a spike in temperature, and then the ice isn't safe. Then what are they going to do? Go to the local junior club and play hockey?
Or
cancel the game.
Cancel the game. Cancel the game. I can't do this. I can't do this with you people. First, it's counting. You guys can't count. And now you can't understand that playing on a pond, on a lake that is frozen, just doesn't make any sense. Also, large bodies of water like that don't freeze that thick. Open water doesn't freeze that thick. You have to big.
I don't know why it's
parking lot. Look, they could do like a little 3-on-3 tour
really
in the McDonald's
to go
parking
on Lake
lot
Tahoe.
In Langhorne.
Yeah, they really just need a rink that's. They just need a pond that's as big as a hockey rink, which just, there are billions of them that are, what, 6 feet deep.
You're forgetting about other things. There's air pockets in ice. I can't do this. I can't do this
you're
anymore.
You're speaking to the authority on ice.
I literally can't do this anymore. Can we move on?
Sure.
The Flyers suck.
I don't even...
Well, but the do they really...
They're getting outshot 10 by 10 shots a game even before they had the AHL team.
That's fair.
So, there's been two games this year where the team has been intact, and in both games, they blew out their opponent. So, game one, they blew out the Penguins.
Sure.
And Couturier got hurt.
Yeah.
2 seconds into game two.
Okay.
And then Couturier comes back.
Yeah.
And they blow out the Capitals 7-4. And then six players get put on COVID.
Okay.
So as far as I'm concerned, the full lineup Flyers are 2-0.
The real Flyers. The real Flyers have played two games.
No, I mean, there's definitely a lot to be to be concerned about. Like, they just haven't looked great, but like
they were
missing Couturier for most of the season, and he's pretty important. And then finally comes back, and then you lose Giroux, Konechny, Lindblom, Voracek, Lawton. So, like, how can we – the last two games, how can we say anything about those two games?
Oh, I don't care about the last two games. So they get an exception.
Their death.
But
like, that was the big thing this year. Like, oh, if players get put on COVID, we'll be fine because we got depth.
Yeah, that's your six of your best players.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, again, when you have two lifelong defensemen playing forward –
that also doesn't make me feel very confident about the career path of what's his name, Matt or Mike Strom, one of the Stroms. We have one of them, and he's on the taxi squad now. And they chose to play Friedman at forward before him.
Is he on the taxi squad though?
Yeah, he's on the taxi squad, but only because the Flyers took six players from the taxi squad to fill the roster, so then they had to take six players from the Phantoms to fill the taxi squad.
Why didn't they
use... Like, it's not like he's a...
Carson Twinski or David Kasha.
He's hurt.
Twinski's hurt. Well, that's the other thing. Yeah. Why didn't David Kasha
play? That's the big question, is why did basically
I feel like Friedman
come in over Kasha, and
they said that they were going to do seven defensemen, 11 forwards, and Friedman was going to play both. But I mean, maybe he did, but I kind of only noticed him at forward. I didn't really ever see him take a shift on D.
I don't think he ever took a shift on D.
Yeah, I kind of think AV was just like, this is, I don't know. Maybe if I put all the defensemen on the fourth line, they'll be
just throw something at the wall and see what sticks.
Everybody's sick. I gotta figure it out.
Down six players. Yeah. So yeah, I mean, like,
did we get anybody back on Wednesday?
The last two games.
We'll know tomorrow.
No one's eligible.
No one's eligible.
Nobody's eligible. Nobody. They have to. So basically, so all of them, all the guys that are currently in the protocol, it's kind of, due to how long they've been in protocol, it's kind of safe to assume at this point that they've tested positive, because if you test positive, you have to wait at least 14 days. Whereas, like, Sanheim was the first guy, yes, and he was back in 10 days because he never actually tested positive. He was just a close contact of somebody who did, and then he did test positive, so he was able to come back. That makes, like, Drew has been confirmed. AV confirmed that Drew had it.
It makes me
same thing with Voracek, but Voracek, they said, has been, like, asymptomatic.
Voracek has had no symptoms.
It makes me scared for
Limbo. So Voracek is... I think Drew Braun be eligible to come back on Wednesday if they met the requirements. Like, that would be 14 days, would be Wednesday. And then Lindblom and Voracek would be Thursday. And then I think Connect.
Did they give any updates on? Because I know they gave an update. Like, I think there's Voracek saying that, like, they. Because I know they don't really talk about it.
Voracek. I saw something about Voracek, who's been asymptomatic, and AV said he's chomping at the bit.
I am curious about, like, how this affects, I guess, like, and Blom. If he did, I don't know if he even had it, but
again, not a doctor. But I think a lot of, like, the concern over Lindblom is warranted, like, clearly, because, like, yeah, he's a cancer survivor. But he was cured of cancer in July. So it's been 6 months. He's been cancer free. I mean, I don't know how long it takes for your immune system to come back from chemo. But it's not like he's going through chemo and is getting sick. So I think he's, like, he's still at risk, but I think he's a lot safer than people are acting. I'm curious
too, maybe if they just put him on the, cause I guess you could say he's been in COVID. In close contact with, like, teams, maybe he just didn't test positive. They're just
also technically, we'll know if he even has it.
Yeah, I mean, that's the other thing. You're really not, I guess you're not gonna know, even when they come back. Probably they could just be close contact
because it's been 13 days. So, like, if he didn't have it, he probably would be back by now. So, but they don't tell us anything, so it's all speculation, but.
They're not supposed,
like, I would be more, yeah, I would be, which I want to talk about that too. So apparently, like, the players are being really, really weird about the COVID stuff. So I saw I think Russ Joy tweet about this, like, last week, where the players are really concerned about, like, the stigma of COVID, which, yeah. I just, what stigma? Like, I didn't, like, oh, you have COVID? Like, there's no stigma to having COVID. It's like, it's a pandemic and millions of people are getting it.
I didn't get that either. I remember that tweet. Really confused by that. Is it, like, that you're a bad person if you get it or something? I
don't think anybody knows.
The only thing, I think the only thing I think of is, like, majority of the players don't buy into it, but, like, they don't want people to know that they have it because they want to be able to come back before.
They want to be like, hockey tough. Oh, I could have played through COVID.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, it's just, mm-hmm. Yeah, we don't know anything. So
I am curious too, because apparently they were gonna, if the Flyers situation got, I guess, worse or didn't get better to the point where they could field any team, they were going to sub the Rangers in. Curious as to why they just didn't do that anyway, seeing the team.
It's funny. Field. Rangers had someone go on COVID protocol the day after they played Flyers.
Correct.
Yeah, which, Kako, right?
Yes.
Yeah, which is crazy because the Rangers were the replacement team, right? Mm-hmm. And we're going to play the Rangers next. And if you remember, the Flyers got their COVID from the Devils because, like, they played the Devils. And then the next day, Yuhisher went on COVID protocol. Yeah, and then it was like, it took like a week for it to really show up on the fly, which was kind of like, when you think of the timelines, that makes sense.
T-shirt?
Like, the Flyers,
Was Heisher out on IR to start the year?
I don't know. So I saw. So they, there was. I don't know if you guys saw that controversy with that.
They announced him as captain, yeah. Like, what, the other day. And it's kind of weird to do it, like, mid-season. And I didn't know if they were just waiting for him to come back, do it. And I was confused by it, too, because because if you're going to do it, why wait till after the COVID list? Why wouldn't you have just done it before? Unless, I guess, he was out before. I don't know if he's been out all year.
Yeah, that still kind of feels weird. But, there was some podcast.
Oh, yeah, only two games played, so he definitely started the year.
Yeah, for Puck's Sake podcast. Okay, so they tweeted something about, like, Nico Heisher basically was responsible for infecting half the East and a diabetic and a cancer patient.
Wow.
And it was like, wow. Oh, Jesus. Yeah, they got.
I guess maybe that's where the stigma comes from, because maybe they're like, maybe that's what the players are talking about. Like, they don't want to be known as the guy who infects everybody. But like,
I will say though that like that Twitter account said that, and they got ratioed pretty hard. Everyone was like, "Yeah, shut up." So,
well, see, that's the thing, because like, if that truly is like the stigma behind it, like, you can't. I don't think that you could blame one individual player. Like, they're being put in that situation where, you know, you have to play, like, that, or you don't get paid. So, I don't really think you could pin it on one individual player. Hmm. I guess maybe if that player's breaking, like, certain... I know they have, like, their protocols and their rules in place. I know, like, when... The Capitals were hanging out. They came down on them pretty hard. So, I don't know. I guess maybe that's the stigma they're talking about, but it's still kind of weird to me. I don't think you can pin it on one individual player.
Yeah. I don't know. It's weird. Everything's weird.
Yeah, that's just stupid, in my opinion. Do you, like, mm-hmm. The virus is just out there. Anyone can get it at any moment. So, you can't blame people for getting it. It's not anyone's fault if you're like if you have a job and you're doing
unless,
and you're going
unless
out.
Unless they're going around like licking everything, you can't really blame people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And stop freaking out about coaches. Their mask falls beneath their nose for 4 seconds. Like, can't tell you the times that like you see like any coach. It's like when you yell and talk, your mask moves and it falls beneath your nose, and you see them fix it immediately. And, like, Twitter's like, oh, so-and-so, wear your mask correctly. Like, yeah, just chill. Doesn't even matter.
I know,
anyway,
like, behind, like... I think they're pretty, monitored pretty closely with that shit, too. Because I know, I think some of the coaches in the NBA got fined for, like, having it too low at certain points. Like,
NFL, yeah, well, Doc
yeah,
Rivers...
Like, clearly...
Doc Rivers pulls his mask off to yell at the refs and stuff. But, like, it's just, like, it's pointless because, like, okay, yeah, AB is wearing his mask, but there's 20 players in front of him who aren't. So, like, it's kind of a sham at that point. Mask is only effective if everyone wears it, so.
Correct. Anyway, enough about the Ronies. Let's talk about Jeff Skinner. Yeah, he's the $9 million man, taking up 11% of the cap hit in Buffalo. And he's got a whopping one point.
He gets put on waivers. Should the Flyers claim him?
No.
I'm just kidding.
Listen,
what happened?
Listen, I say no, but there's one in particular person who will hear this and be very upset that we say no. That's Joey. Joey loves Jeff Skinner for some reason.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I think he really loved him when he was scoring 40 goals.
Yeah,
I don't think right now a $9 million paperweight would entice anybody.
Yeah, it's funny. I remember watching like an NHL channel piece on Jeff Skinner and Shane Gostisbehere and their skating technique. I remember like in that video, both of those players were highlighted. They were doing like with the tomahawk thing. The skates are like, I don't know how to describe it, but. Yeah, it's funny to think that like both of those players now are like they can't skate. What happened?
Jeff Skinner, when he got that contract, it was right after the 40-goal season. And, like, before that, he was still – he still had, like, 20, 30-goal seasons before that. Like, it's not like – $9 million was always an overpayment, I think, even – because I think when he got the 40 goals, he only had, like, 20 or 30 assists. Like, he was, like, a 60, 70-point kind of guy. So I feel like 90 – or $9 million was always going to be an overpayment, but
63 is his career high in points. And he did
So yeah, again, $9 million is always going to be an overpayment he as a guy. You think he's gonna? You'd never think he would tank that far down to the point. I think what the following year he had like 20 some points total.
Last year
like
he had 23 points, which is the year after his 40 goal year. This year he has 1 point in 14 games.
This year from what I hear, is they're not putting him in a situation where he's gonna get a ton of points. Like they keep him strapped on the fourth line, and a lot of people like I read like a article on Jeff Skinner from like a Buffalo fan site, and from what they were saying was that he wasn't really ever a guy that was gonna take control of a line. Like he was a guy that would finish and score, but he wasn't a guy that you could put on a line to carry that line.
You know, you say he's on the fourth line, and there's nothing like taking 10% of your total cap hit and putting it on the fourth line.
Well, now he's on the he's now a healthy he's scratched.
Nothing like 10% of your total cap hit being a healthy scratch because he can't.
And that's it. There's no way for them to get out of that contract. Nope. Like even if no team would trade for him, even if they didn't have the no move clause, but he's got the no move clause. There's $9 million of not getting anything from him. He's literally worthless.
There's something interesting about Buffalo. They have two no movement clauses and two no trade clauses.
I wonder what Jeff's. I kind of forget when they signed him, but he never hit free agency, right?
I think he got traded.
He got traded from Carolina to Buffalo.
Yeah, and then I think he was. They didn't sign him right away, right? Like that wasn't included in the trade, right?
He had a contract year, and he went off, and then he got signed by Buffalo.
Correct.
But he never hit free agency, right? Okay. Because I am curious to see what other teams would have offered him.
Probably a ton. Because
I don't think they would have came close to $9 million. That's.
I don't know, dude. Like he was 26 years old, and he put up 40 goals.
But 63 points and like. Goal scoring is very like I feel like his shooting percentage was really high that year too. You kind of have to take that into account.
Yeah, it was 14%. It was his career high of shooting percentage. But I'll tell you, it was 14.9, so it was pretty much 15%.
Yeah. So like, I guess it drops. Yeah, it's like 7 to 10. So like, you figure that drops, it's still 20 to 25 goals. And again, I guess
NHL GMs don't look at that.
I guess they should because you got to think if he goes to an average shooting percentage, which he's not now, he's below that. But if he's hitting average numbers, he's probably only putting up 40 to 50 points, which is not nine.
The year before he scored $9 million. The year before he scored 40, he scored 24 in 82 games and he had an 8.7 shooting percentage.
Yeah. So you're probably getting anywhere between 20 to 30 goals. And clearly he's not like an assist guy.
It's the classic contract year, ball out, get paid, don't do shit.
Yeah, but then literally, like, it's one thing to just revert back to average or even a little below average, and it's another thing to completely fall off a cliff.
Yeah, well, he's just not good.
He was good. Like he was good in Carolina. Like he put
That's
up 60
the thing. Like
points
he was never like a terrible player. Like I just, like and now he's, and it is such a Buffalo thing to happen too because I feel like they probably felt like their hands were tied because that's when Jack Eichel I feel like was really like outspoken about like him hating the fact that Buffalo wasn't very good. Now they get a 40 goal scorer, and they're like, okay, now we have to sign this guy or else Eichel's gonna. Definitely request the trade, so they overpay the hell out of this dude, and now that is like their biggest reason why they can't really do anything with, like now they're on a flat cap, $9 million paperweight. Like, they are strapped. They can't really do much. And yeah, they signed Taylor Hall, but
Dude, they're gonna give him to fucking Seattle.
they're not Seattle's not gonna take that contract,
dude. But this is what's weird to me. I don't know why
they can't because of the no move clause.
You can trade him, and he can agree to it.
Yeah, but like, would they want that? They're not gonna want that. No one's gonna want that.
Like, so to your point, like, he's playing bad right now, right? And he's a $9 million paperweight. So wouldn't it be smarter to put him on a line with Eichel and just play? Like, you're
the Sabres.
You suck. You're not making the playoffs. So put him on the line with Eichel. Let him get some stats so that maybe Seattle does take
him. I want to go back to the Seattle thing because they could, because they're not going to take the $9 million. You're going to take it at half. They'll take it at half. Buffalo just wants to get rid of it. That's what I'm saying. They're gonna trade him to them for, like, picks, so they don't pick somebody else.
If you're Buffalo and you're setting, you're doing your protections for the expansion draft, and you just leave, like, or you leave Skinner available, and you're Buffalo, you're a terrible team.
You can't.
Do you have a no move?
He's got a no movement clause. They'd have to trade him. Right. They would literally have to trade him. That's what I'm saying. You eat half of it. It's better than $9 million as Buffalo. You get rid of him. You get somebody who can potentially be a 40. You get somebody who could potentially be a 40 goal scorer, or at least a 20 goal scorer on a new team. He's got a name behind him because he drew him $9 million contract.
I feel like if you're going to do that, you should put him on a line with Eichel.
You also have to remember this, though. Like, from Seattle's, they have to reach a certain like, cap floor too. Like, they could use the $4.5 million potentially, because a lot of the guys that they're going to be
it's a tough contract though, because $4.5 million, like, okay, yeah, that's a potential goal scorer or 40 goal scorer at $4.5 million. That's great. That's awesome. But what if he is just stays what he is now, which is literally useless?
Then you get a $4.5 million third line, fourth line player. It is what it is.
Which is useless for, like, 5 to 6 years, because his deal is – I think he's still got 6 years left on that deal after this year. Nobody's going to want that right now.
$4.5 million is a terrible contract for a bad player. I mean, we were killing Andrew McDonald's contract, and he was at
it's
five.
Not like, it's not like he's, like, an average guy, and $4.5 million looks great if
he's literally useless. But there is potential there. But because, like you're saying, Buffalo's not using him. They're putting him on the fourth line and getting 1 point. What's the deal with trading him? Put him on Seattle. Put him on the second line with guys you know are going to produce because of the way the NHL is now. Give him an opportunity. If you're Seattle, it's a no-brainer.
But he had an opportunity last year, and he didn't do anything with it. He scored 9 goals. He didn't do anything with it last year.
Okay, now
I agree. I agree. They should.
Who did he play with? It's Buffalo.
He had 14 goals last year.
I mean, they didn't have Hall, so I'm assuming they put him with Eichel or the top. He was in the top six. I know that much. I don't know if he was directly with Eichel, but
he had 14 goals in 59 games. Like, I feel like if you played him with Eichel,
20 goal scorer on an 82 game season.
And I feel like if you get him to 20 goals, right?
That's why they should play him with Eichel now, because that's the only way you're ever going to get him to be tradable.
Some team might think that it's just a down year or down couple years, and that, like, they can fix it. At 9 million, right? Like, I don't care what Buffalo does; they're stupid. But, like, just as, like, a general philosophy, when there's a star player that's sucking, it's always weird to me that coaches will, like, bury them on the fourth line with a bunch of, like, fourth line players who are not going to help them get out of their slump. Like, put them with your best player who might
I agree, and I feel like when he had that 40 goal season, he was primarily paired with Eichel.
But for you to say, Ryan, that Seattle would have no point in getting Jeff Skinner at half the contract is ridiculous, because there is a point.
No, because if he's not there, if he doesn't prove that he can put up those numbers, why would they take a $4.5 million paperweight for?
He did
five
prove
to six
he
years.
Can put up the numbers. He's playing on the fourth line. He's getting.
This season, last year he was top six, and he put up 9 goals.
He put up 14 goals. You're not listening.
He put up 14. You're looking at assists.
He put up 14 goals.
14 goals, 20 points.
Okay.
4.5 million. That's still too much.
Barely 15 minutes a game, and that's being generous, right?
That's this year.
That's what I'm saying. But look at it. Look at it. If you're Seattle's GM, you're getting offered a star caliber player at half the contract. You could play him with these talented players you're gonna get. He's a name. You're gonna sell jerseys.
You do it. Jeff Skinner jersey. No one's buying a Jeff.
Joey's gonna buy a Jeff Skinner jersey.
Joey loves Jeff Skinner. But like, I don't think Jeff Skinner is a star in NHL. I don't like.
If $4.5 million for a 20-plus goal scorer.
Seattle took JVR and Skinner. I'm telling you, they're gonna sell more JVR jerseys.
Okay, and they're gonna have a 20 and a 30 goal scorer on their roster. I don't see the issue with this. It's smart on both teams' accounts.
Something else to keep in mind, right? Right. If Seattle is, if Buffalo is like, hey, please take Skinner. We'll take.
They can't take Skinner.
Seattle,
they have to trade him Skinner.
Okay. Well, that's.
Right, that's what I'm saying, Drew. I'm saying if just calm, Drew, calm down, take a breath. Okay?
No, I'm hyped. Y'all are pissing me off with ice, and now you're saying that Jeff Skinner would be worth.
It's a big mistake. What if they take him and he's a paperweight for 6 years?
Okay.
No, see, Buffalo's like, hey, Seattle, we want to make a trade with you. We want you to take Skinner. He's agreed to make, you know, waive his no move. We'll retain half. Seattle's gonna be like, well, no, we don't want him. He's a paperweight. And it's a first round pick too. So like, you know, that's when it can make sense for Seattle. Like, okay, we're gonna get a pick. We get a project player who used to be amazing. He's down. Maybe he turns around.
I'm
not
saying give him take Jeff Skinner by himself. You take a pick with it too. You're not just gonna take the chance on it fully. You're taking at least a third with it.
Still rough though. 4.5 mil is a. It's a. I mean, it's a very high risk. But also, it's a high risk, high reward. But it's a very, very high risk.
I'm making a hot take. Jeff Skinner will be in a Seattle, whatever, Kraken jersey.
I'm curious to see if that
I wish
happens.
You would let me finish my sentence before you said that, Drew, because they're not going to do that. Because Seattle, the way Seattle's front office is built, like they're very like analytically stat inclined. They've hired like a bunch of stat nerds, and they're not gonna. And
so they're gonna
nerds,
suck
they're
anyways.
Take a bet. No, they're not. They're gonna build. They're gonna do what Vegas did. Like Vegas did the same thing. They're gonna be good right off the bat.
They're gonna suck
anyways.
They're
not gonna take a bad player just because he's bad, and they're gonna get a first round pick for him.
Yeah, I think they're gonna get,
remember Vegas got William Karlsson and Riley Smith from the Panthers for some reason. Like that's the kind of stuff Seattle's gonna do. They're not gonna do dumb deals with other dumb teams.
I'm not saying it's a bad risk, or I'm just saying it's very, very high. Like, yes, the reward would be great if Buffalo, and then you also have to think too, like, yeah, Buffalo wants Jeff Skinner off their team, but are they also like, is Buffalo now willing, I guess, to eat $4.5 million for 6 years? I guess it's better
instead
than eating $9 million. I guess that's still a huge
what do I get
amount.
If I'm
is there
correct?
Anything? A pat on the back.
Yeah.
Was there anything about Jeff Skinner's play in the last 2 years that makes you think that he'll ever score 30 goals again?
Change of scenery. Could be
I haven't watched him play, so I don't know.
So here's what I think happened. The reason why he got this big contract and why he didn't go somewhere. I don't think he wants to be in Buffalo, but I don't think anybody offered him $9 million a year.
I think Buffalo offered him $9 million a year.
And I think everybody else offered him like 5 to 6.
I don't think he got to that point.
Nobody else,
I think he's somebody
you can still talk. You can still talk.
Yeah,
to people.
I think it's tampering.
Your agent can still definitely yeah, like.
I'm pretty sure there's like a week period, but I'm pretty sure it never got to that.
Yeah, I don't think teams can officially talk to your agent.
$9 million, and he knew he like $9 million.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
No one else is gonna beat that. Mm-hmm. Like
that's why
some teams might get close, but no one's gonna beat it. So you take it.
Yeah.
That's definitely what happened. They offered him such an absurd number. And
like, at the time, he was. When he took the contract, that was in his mind. I'm going to play with Jack Eichel, and I'll score 40 goals every year, and I'll make
Dude,
$9
Jack
million.
Eichel doesn't
Buffalo's
even
want to
be in Buffalo.
Market.
You know what?
We're talking 2 years ago. Right?
You know what?
We're talking about like, when things were...
Like
Jack Eichel to Seattle.
Great at some point.
Jack Eichel to Seattle.
If that happens, that would be what does Seattle have to offer
first round
Buffalo?
Picks? I don't know.
Yeah, for the next like 6 years.
Cap space.
Yeah,
dude, Eichel and Skinner and half a Skinner's contract.
Well, no, but like, yeah, it's not like you're overpaying Eichel. I think the cap space for Eichel is well spent.
Here's what happens, okay? This is totally not going to happen, but here's what happens.
I'm sorry, I forgot we were talking about Eichel. No, that's
not going to happen. No, it's not. But here's what's going to happen, okay? It's totally not going to happen, but it's going to happen. The Buffalo calls Seattle, and they're like, yo, Jeff Skinner, have the contract, take him. Yeah, you can have him. He's waving his no-movement clause, and they're like, Jack Eichel, and they're like, all right, fuck it, let's do it. And then Skinner and Eichel play together in Seattle, and Skinner becomes a 50-goal scorer, a 75-point producer. Eichel wins the MVP. It's a whole thing.
I do think Eichel requests a trade before the end of, I don't want to say this year, but probably next year, if Buffalo is not even close to making the playoffs again.
I mean, Taylor Hall's probably not coming back.
I think at this point, where are they in the standings? It can't be very high.
So I'm looking at
because they probably end up trading him during the.
So they're already like only 300,000 under the cap, and they have to like coming off the books. Well, I shouldn't say coming off the books. People either need to sign or figure it out. Taylor Hall, Sam Reinhart, Eric Staal, which is probably gone. Casey Mittelstadt's at the end of his contract.
Eric.
Two fourth liners. Five of their six defensemen. Sorry, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 6 of their 7 defensemen on their roster currently. Both their goalies. Yeah, they got a lot here that they got to worry about.
Is Buffalo ever going to be good again?
No.
They need to get another Ryan Miller.
Again's very relative because. Maybe in like 20, 30 years, but probably not. But
they're
definitely
such...
not in the next decade. No way. Dude. Especially not with that Skinner contract on the book.
Danbury, Chris Drury, yeah.
Ryan Miller.
If they're lucky, at some point they'll get a compliance buyout from like all this, like the flat cap stuff, and the teams will issue a compliance buyout to Skinner.
Yeah.
That's if they're lucky.
I mean, at this point, honestly, they might as well just buy it out and take half the contract over double the length.
$4.5 million for
that would be
no, for 14 years.
They would have to do that in like 3 years or so.
Yeah, no. I mean, I'm sure he would get bought out when it got closer if they still had him.
Well, right now, right now, the only people they have signed in 2023, 2024, other than obviously rookies on their E. Even then, the only people they have signed to start that year is Eichel and Skinner.
Amazing.
They have no other long-term contracts. They either end Eichel after this year, or they end the latest at 23-24, like that offseason.
We'll definitely end up requesting a trade if they don't significantly improve next season, which
I mean, you gotta figure their Taylor Hall is probably not coming back.
Yeah, I think they probably end up trading him. I mean, why wouldn't you?
Buffalo's just in a shit show right now. It's great.
Although, if you do, I mean, yeah, I guess you could retain salary because who cares? It's your contract. Get maybe an extra pick out of it for retaining half Taylor Hall's salary. But he's also not having a great year either. He got like 1 or 2 goals.
Yeah, he's probably playing on the fourth line too.
Nah, I think they have him on the... I think they honestly have him with Eichel.
I mean, I would hope so.
Yeah, he's got 1 goal. He does have 9 assists.
So he's
10 points in 14 games. That's not bad.
He's Claude Giroux in it. 10 and 15, by the way.
And, yeah, it's fine. It's not.
You don't know how to read a stat sheet, do you?
I don't know. I'm looking. It's just
he's got his columns
14.
He's got his columns all well messed up.
No. Games played 14, 15. But I'm sure that's not including tonight. I'm looking at NHL.com.
I'm looking at the Sabres website.
Yeah, NHL.com/Sabres.
Sabres/stats. Yeah, he's got 15 games.
I guess my site hasn't updated because it still says
refresh it.
14.
But as of 2 games ago.
14, Drew.
Well, you're wrong.
How many games removed are we?
No, we're not doing this.
Whatever, 10 and 15. It's not the end of the world. The team will take him for a rental playoff team.
Anyways, think I'm done arguing with you guys for tonight.
I think this was a solid hour of all of us just yelling.
This is... Listen, honestly, this is what happens. This is what happens when we don't have an outline. We just got some stuff and nothing to go by.
I'm gonna agree with Dev here. I think it went better than expected.
I think.
I thought we were gonna run into a bunch of walls, but apparently Jeff Skinner gets people really heated.
No, what gets me heated?
Argue about ice.
What gets me heated is you going, no, it doesn't make any sense for Seattle to do that. When it does, you just assume it doesn't.
Okay, there's a very slim opening.
It's not even
it
slim.
Kind of
it's a very real possibility. It's a very real possibility. Jeff Skinner to Seattle. You heard it here first. Heard it
very
here first.
Slim. You have to like look at it at a certain angle for it to make sense. You gotta like tilt your head sideways.
I'm tilting my head because you're pissing me off. Everything hurts now. I'm giving myself a headache from the yelling. It's a whole thing. It's probably really loud. I'm sorry for all your eardrums.
No, that's fine.
I don't care about you two. It's the people who are listening.
I'm sure it's fine for them, too.
Sure. We learned... what did we learn today? Drew can argue about ice. And stuff that's probably not going to happen. We learned that Ryan can't read stat columns. We learned that Dev eats like a third grader and still has to eat and talk with his mouth full at the beginning of the pod. And then choke on a chocolate chip. We learned anything else, guys?
We learned a lot about ice.
We did. We did learn a lot about ice.
So we're going to learn more about ice.
Wait, we're going back to ice? No, we're
not. Right,
it'll be
not right this second.
Solely ice. Next podcast will be about ice.
We're not. Don't listen to that. That's
we're
going to
dedicate
nope.
a whole podcast.
We're not doing that about ice.
Done. Get ready for it.
All right. I'm just going to do the whole spiel now, if you don't mind. If you guys have any questions or comments, you can send us an email to wizwithhockey@gmail.com. I don't care if you do or not. You're getting it out here. You're doing a terrible job at it. You can follow us on Twitter at @wiz_wit_hockey. You can follow myself at TheBigDrew92. You can follow Devin at DevinS93. You can follow Ryan at SauceBoyKush. Yeah, it's been fun. I've been Drew. He's been Devin.
Yeah, I'm gonna teach you so much about ice.
You can't say this about ice. You can't say it with a straight face. So you know it's not actually happening. He's going to forget by tomorrow. And he's been Ryan.
We'll see you next week for the ice episode.
It's not next week. We're on our third week. It's a whole thing. Whatever. At least
we make up these timelines. It doesn't matter.
Yeah. Sure.
We'll see you in 4 weeks when we talk about ice.
The Great
I swear.
Salt Lake.
1 to 4 weeks.
Ice thickness of 1.4 yards, Drew.
But it's salt ice, so it's
feet,
not
that
as
is, that's 5
sturdy.
Feet.
It's not as sturdy. But it's not as sturdy because it's salt ice, so it doesn't
what
work.
They put,
there's too much
what they put steel
I'm sorry,
beams.
I'm sorry. Did you not hear me? I said the Great Salt Lake.
Yeah, Salt Lake.
Salt
yes.
ice?
Yeah, what it's salt ice.
I didn't say Salt Lake. I said Solve.
Solve? Where the hell is the Solve Lake?
It's in the Northwest Territory of Canada.
What if they put steel beams underneath the ice?
It's the lake that they put the ice roads on.
So what you're saying is it's all the way up by the... No, I'm not. Because you're saying it's almost up by the North Pole.
Podcast is over. Drew was wrong.